ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं वीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति न इष्टिकी। Today we are continuing to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, entitled Prithu Maharaja's Meeting with the Kumaras, Text 15. Tadaham Krita Vishrambha Shudho Vastapasvinam Sampritche Bhava Etasmin क्षेमकेनाञ्जसा भवेत् तदहं कृतविश्रम्भः शुभ्रतपस्विनां सम्पृच्छे भव एतस्मिन् क्षेमकेनाञ्जसा भवेत् तदहं कृतविश्रम्भः शुभदोवस्तपस्विनां सम्पृच्छे भव एतस्मिन् क्षेमकेनाञ्जसा भवेत्। Word to word meaning, tat, therefore, aham, I, krita vishrambaha, being completely assured, shuddhaha, friend, vaha, our, tapasvinam, suffering material pangs, sampritche, wish to inquire, bhave, in this material world, etasmin, this, kshemaha, ultimate reality, kena, by which means, anjasa, without delay, bhave, can be achieved. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. I am completely assured that personalities like you are the only friends for persons who are blazing in the fire of material existence. I therefore ask you how in this material world we can very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life. Purport. When a saintly persons go from door to door to see those who are too much materially engaged, it is to be understood that they do not go to ask anything for their personal benefit. It is a fact that saintly persons go to materialists just to give real information of the auspicious. Maharaja Prithu was assured of this fact. Therefore, instead of wasting time by asking the Kumaras about their welfare, he preferred to inquire from them whether he could soon be relieved from the dangerous position of material existence. This was not, however, a question personally for Prithu Maharaja. It was raised to teach the common man that whenever one meets a great saintly person, one should immediately surrender unto him and inquire about relief from the material pains of existence. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakura says, Samsara Vishanale Divanishi Hiya Jwale Dudaite Na Kainum Paya. We are always suffering from material pangs and our hearts are burning, but we cannot find any way out of it. The materialistic person can also be called a tapasvi, which means someone who is always suffering from material pains. One can get rid of all these material pains only when he takes shelter of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This is also explained by Narottam Das Thakura. Golokera premadana harinama sankirtana ratina janmila kena taya. Narottam Das Thakura regretted that he did not pursue his attraction for the transcendental vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra. The conclusion is that all persons in this material world are suffering from material pains. And if one wants to get rid of them, he must associate with saintly persons, pure devotees of the Lord, and chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is the only auspicious way for materialistic persons. ॐ अज्ञानस्थिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सालु मीटिंग तपस्वी कृत महाराज इज वेरी सरकास्टिक इन वन सेंस that he calls those who are suffering the material pains also to be tapasvis. Earlier verse we saw that Prithu Maharaj did not ask for the well-being of the Kumaras. Why? Because they are transcendentally situated. There is no point in asking, how are you? How is it going? How was your travel? Was the flight all right? Because they can travel anywhere. So these things are not required. Prithu Maharaj comes straight to the point. And he does not want to waste much of time. And he is straight to the point and asking what should a person who is caught up in this blazing fire of material existence do so that he can quickly achieve the ultimate goal of life. So one of the qualities of those who are very advanced in devotional service is that they do not want to waste time. There is a quality called avyartha kalatvam. They do not want to waste time and they also want to propagate the Krishna consciousness to others. And they extend their mercy and compassion to others. So here, as Prabhupada explains, Prithu Maharaj is not inquiring for himself. He is posing himself as if he is a person burning in the fire of material existence. Although we know that he is of a very exalted quality. By his exalted qualities, he attracted the Lord himself. The Lord came to his personal sacrifice and gave him the blessing. This theme of a sadhu going to house of a materialist, and then what does the sadhu do? Does he strike a business deal with the materialist? Like, okay, you got this much money, I would like to do business with you, and let's do a partnership deal. Let's get into. No, he doesn't get into all those material entanglement. He goes in like a needle, but comes out like a plow. So he goes in asking for permission to speak to them. Then, but the idea is not to be like them, become one of them, but to enlighten them. So let us play that role of a sadhu entering a materialist's house. If you are given that role, you are meant to enter somebody's house and you are meant to start to preach to them, and they are suffering from the material pain. What are some of the strategies that you would follow? How would you begin addressing such a person, and where would you start, and how will you take it further? Something for you to think about, then you can start sharing your thoughts.
Compassion.
Okay, so quality of compassion. So how would you begin showing compassion to them? You, how would you start the preaching? For preaching, of course, you need to ask, hi, how are you? All that. After that, after the regular small talk, where would you venture into next?
Have you heard about Hare
Krishna directly? Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Yeah, then what would you do?
And then most of them, they say yes.
Okay. So we have some goodwill. So they have heard about us. Yes, go on. After that, what would you do?
And then we can give a small brief explanation about what is Hare Krishna movement.
Okay, so you give the explanation of the Hare Krishna movement. But they are so impatient, they would want to ask, what is in it for me? So you are into Hare Krishna movement, but come to the point, what's in it for me? I don't have time. Like,
yes, yes. People sometimes, depending on the time also.
Okay.
If they are interested, yes, they will put another question.
Okay.
Like, as you have told us. And then we give an explanation that why we have to pray to the God.
Why we have to pray to the God. Okay. So you play the role of a sadhu, I play the role of a materialist. I don't have to pray to God, I'm happy, I'm well off, and I'm living in Melbourne. You see me, I'm already doing it, I'm good man, I don't need you.
Yes, and then I got a very, yeah. I was talking the same way to the girl.
Okay,
and then
is that in Crossways or?
No, it's somewhere else.
Somewhere else, okay.
So she said she was not happy. So
okay.
Be in the presence. Others also have some feelings.
Okay.
Don't put your opinion on others.
Uh-huh.
Then she didn't want to talk to her.
So she kind of opened up to you?
Yes, so okay. I apologize because I was going a bit over the limit because I was playing like a master.
Okay.
So
it's a learning experience. Everybody
yes,
has that.
That's what I played for. Even though it is not right, but she didn't want to hear
that. Okay. So then
I spoke as soon as she said.
Okay.
But
later she opened up to you?
No, she said, me in the presence don't.
Oh, she started advising. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know, probably was
I
right or wrong?
Hmm.
I wasn't sure. So
okay.
Anyhow, I put a message that I'm going to go Hare Krishna, that should be enough for her too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for your sincere attempt. So So how do we break the ice and how do we get into those materialists who are posing themselves to be well off, they're happy, they are chasing some dreams, and they are going through austerities. They put their body through and mind, and they squeeze their intelligence and all that, and they put themselves through a lot of austerity that's described in this verse, as they are called as tapasvis. Anyone else wants to try? If
Sadhana book.
Sadhana book, okay. Don't have time for a book. And I don't need the book. Right. Visit the temple, okay. With the family, okay. And give them the card, temple card.
And when you come, then
introduce them to seniors.
And also depends on the practical with the kind of the person he is. So the intellectual person, they talk on to all, talk all this with the
philosophy.
Those were the very simple, normal persons. They have very different things. So they like the more person to person contact. How you can touch their heart. That is the the moment of truth, the way this the person
likes
themselves. So if you were very hospitable to them and were willing for that, unfortunately what happened was that sometimes many people come and his strength has come, but we do not invite them. Some person should be dedicated person who will, if a new person comes, we should invite them, please come, please invite the first person. So that person sometimes we don't see here.
So your point of view is we need to judge the person's mindset. And if he's philosophically oriented, give philosophy to them. Or if he's a simple person, then have one-to-one conversation, make that heart connection. Then introduce Krishna consciousness, make friendship. Now, that was a different scenario, although you explained, accept the points. Here the scenario is a sadhu is going to a materialist house. That's a... How would you... If you are playing the role of a sadhu, entering a materialist house, and after the small talk is over and they are in that high plane where they may not be very much inclined to you, how would you break in and their defense, then how would you get in and then start to do what a saintly person is meant to do?
Somebody here in the Australia, normally the people don't allow to get into the house.
Okay. Let's not assume that you've gone past all that. Come, so what would you do? Some action plan that, how would you?
If I have some preview, first of all, good point, yes.
Now you're starting to think in terms of after you've got in, so you don't go empty handed, so you go in with a, some. And one of that, as Mataji pointed, the gift, the book itself could be wrapped up nicely rather than, so people look at the package now. So I've come here. So you ask for their time, whatever time they have. We appreciate that they are busy. And then get in. And then even though internally people are kind of, as Bhagavatam describes, they have been pushed to their limits and they are foaming in their mouth and they are struggling, but externally they hide it with a mask of being happy and pose themselves to others. If we are able to actually get to them and break that defense and then slowly talk to the point as to where they are heading to, even from their own point of view, if they want to improve their performance at work, because that's what the materialist is primarily interested in, how do I get more money, how do I get more things done in a limited period of time? So from spiritual point of view, how would you give some recommendation for them to improve their performance? For a materialist to get things done quickly to improve their performance, what would be some of it? Yes, Prabhu.
The guy's a tourist. And why waste your time with the guy trying to preach to him, you know, and trying to convert him to something he doesn't want?
Yeah.
You know, better if you go to the house. I mean, firstly, if he thinks faith is the voting, then our impression to the person has to be that he thinks firstly that faith is the voting.
So make them favorable. So that's
make them favorable by your behavior.
Interesting point about
if he's not going to be submissive to any preaching, then there's no point in banging your head against the brick wall. There are plenty of other people out there that actually really improve for the knowledge.
Yeah. Thank you. That's an interesting viewpoint as to how after assessing for some time he's not willing to listen, so then you still give the other gift of prasadam, which is the universal weapon where people normally take that as a gift. But if he is willing to listen, if you are able to get through across them by saying that top materialists who are successful, they all have some common qualities. And now, sorry.
Then you come on this platform. Yeah. You tell them how we can become materially successful, more materially successful. You can glorify them.
Yes,
and
that's a.
You can defend them in that way, you know. It's not that the bodies are like rocks in an ocean. You know, we bend. With the room so that we can be seen favorably. You know, if a person is just, I mean, sometimes I remember when we were on Sankirtan, then we just go to a butcher shop. Not that we need to know the time, but we knew that the only way we can engage this person in all these activities is by just asking him what the time is, or ask for a direction or something like that. You know,
and then okay, so then he helps you.
It's on the path, you know. Yeah. It's on the path. So you have to leave that environment in a favorable situation so that the next devotee that comes along is
he makes the next.
Yeah,
I've heard I think Manmohan Prabhu and even Prabhupada have gone to butcher shops and given books. Isn't that true, Prabhu?
Yeah, with the books of the quest. Pretty okay. Many of them have taken Bhagavad Gita given.
Yeah, I think you were explaining as to how one of the either the owner was running a non-vegetarian restaurant, but the wife was very favorable. Then they asked you to come back and recite or read about Bhagavad Gita. They wanted to know about it. So that is one way of approaching people. Then make friends with them, and then, as Prabhu said, to leave them a good impression so that the next person goes in, the devotee, they would welcome. That's a good strategy. Recently, the materially successful people, they have started to publish their success stories and their common practices, and a lot of them are coming to the mode of goodness, although they don't admit it. But doing a particular activity at a particular time, at a particular frequency, constantly maintaining it, that is one thing. Second is meditation. For performance, increasing their performance, a lot of them are recommended to do meditation. If we are able to address their needs in terms of them increasing their performance and gaining more money, then also we can point out the qualities of those successful people who are consistently able to perform well, because when we look at their habits, that's what they're doing. They have a set routine and they follow it. And most of them, they take care of the body first, then they cleanse it, then they put in some. It was not actually non-vegetarian, but it was actually a lot of natural ingredients they take in as the first thing there, in as part of their routine. Then that energizes their body and the mind. Then they get into the routine of practicing some kind of a meditation. After they have done that, then they sit ahead and plan for the day. Which kind of, they look at what they have planned for the previous night and then they start to work on it. They all recommend that they don't start their day by looking at their mobile phones or their checking their emails. None of them do that. Those top successful people. They all say we avoid that because we wanted to make sure that the distractions that are coming from all those mobiles and the emails, we don't want to do that. We want to set aside time for ourselves and make a productive day. For that, they said meditation helps. And nowadays, even in the list of things to do in Google, also meditation, yoga and all that is there. Whereby they want to, they have a specific need of increasing their productivity, and we have this wealth of knowledge by which they can come to that particular platform. So when they talk about picking up a particular yoga routine, we can introduce the mantra meditation, where that effects of mantra meditation on human performance. So we can quote the statistics about it, how it has got effect on the brain of a particular person, the mind, and through those statistics and the research done in various universities, if we are able to present them, then they are more likely to listen that, okay. Then after having done that, we can introduce them to the concept of how there is existence beyond what you actually think you are running after material things. If we have broken that difference and we ask them genuinely, do you feel satisfied by what achievements you have done? And look at your own profession. Look at a person who is 10 years ahead of you, 20 years ahead of you, in the same profession that you are in. How is their lifestyle? What is the kind of life they are leading? When are they coming to the office? When are they leaving? How is their relationship with their spouse? Analyze all that. Do you want to become like them? So this would probably stop them from their regular treadmill and then ask them to stop and reflect. Am I running in the right direction? So after having done that, then we can introduce them about the spiritual existence, where they exist beyond this body and the mind, which is what is driving them crazy, making them foam in their mouth and do all those extra endeavors to get something very temporary. Then the existence of soul, then depending on their level of inquisitiveness, then we can tell them there is a cycle of frustration and there is a cycle of satisfaction. The cycle of frustration is when you start to misidentify yourself with your externals, which is your body, mind and the senses. And because you are drawn externally, the focus is external, anything that attracts you, you put your energy and focus on that and you start to work on achieving a particular end goal which you have been meditating upon. And then you achieve that goal, and then the amount of pleasure that you get out of it, it may not be the same as what you thought it will be. Then once having, if you are not able to achieve that particular goal, you go into the loop of anger. Then when you are angry, you don't perform normally, you lose your intelligence, and then you get into that cycle of frustration. And the other part is when you achieve what you wanted, still it is not satisfied and you want more, the greed cycle begins, or the other end is the anger, frustration, you lose your memory. Then you say things which you shouldn't have said, or you act in such a way then you regret later. That two paths can be explained as to how it is not going to. Either way you achieve your goal or you're getting frustrated not achieving your goal, either way it is leading, it's a downward spiral. Then we introduce them to the satisfaction cycle, where a person understands that he is beyond his material existence, he is beyond his mind, and he has a spiritual existence. Prabhupada explains that one of the anxieties, one of the miseries of a materialist is that he does not have a clear goal in life. Second chapter, when Krishna explains the satisfaction cycle, where the anger, fall down, that is explained. After that, he contrasts. So in that section, Krishna starts to explain, but if a person is able to control his senses, then becomes satisfied with what he obtains by normal endeavor, does not over endeavor, controls his senses, then by such satisfaction one's transcendental intelligence is situated properly and his mind functions properly, then he gets peace of mind, and by that you get happiness. So that's the happiness cycle that he starts to describe. So we can explain in this way as to how we can ask them, what are you able to relate to? Are you in the frustration cycle, or do you want to switch to the satisfaction cycle? So then one may further ask, how do I get that contentment, satisfaction? So then we tell, it's not something that is external for you to obtain, but it is natural for you. That's how. So ask them to follow this process and the lifestyle and apply the same principle. Look at people who are applying this particular lifestyle. Look at them 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 40 years down the line. How are they? This does not mean that you have to give up your active lifestyle, work. You don't have to give up your work. And that's why the Gita wisdom is explained to a warrior who is at work, who has a family, who has children. And after hearing Gita, what did he do? It's not that after hearing Gita, Arjuna left the battlefield and went to the forest. You see the end result of the mind set change of a person who took this process, stuck to the practice of it, where he had different options before him, what to choose. It's not that there's one thing fits all. He can explain the progression of a person who's got a lot of material desires. Then the yoga ladder cycle can be explained. How, as one works with attachment to both the results and the work, then you get detached from the results, but still be engaged in the work. Then introduce charity and all that, where you give your hard-earned money to someone else. So from that path, then give them additional knowledge. You can explain the whole cycle. Then, having established that you are a spiritual being, one may ask, what am I supposed to do as a spiritual being? Then we explain them the items of knowledge. So this is what you are meant to look at. The 13th chapter, you have a list of qualities: samanitvam, adambitvam, humility, pridelessness, tolerance. We can explain that these qualities, spiritualists acknowledge that they are coming from God or Krishna. And that's why we take up these qualities and try to imbibe those qualities. When you take up these qualities in your lifestyle, definitely your performance at work will improve. There's a whole lot of preaching is going on based on the quality of gratitude. A lot of them attend seminars on gratitude, So here is what the knowledge that we are giving helps you to develop those qualities so that you are strengthening your spiritual quotient. Just as you have an IQ, you have an EQ, because now you are a spiritual person, you need to have that spiritual quotient also, which means what are the qualities that I need to have, just like you get a job description. This is what you are expected to do, and this is the remuneration that you will get. Similarly, Krishna explains, spirit, soul, the properties of the soul are described. After that, he goes on, later on, he reveals that, this is the items of knowledge, and these are set of divine qualities. He reassures that you are by quality spiritual. By nature you are spiritual, you are my part and parcel. So these are the divine qualities that you need to focus on and develop. You can take up one or two qualities, work on it, have an action plan for developing these qualities, and see the results yourself, how people around you watch and see, are they getting repelled and moving again away from you, or are you able to attract people towards you? See the results by yourself. Once they are getting convinced about the process, about how they are able to acquire these qualities, and see the results themselves, we then introduce them to the give them that which is auspicious, as described in the purport, which is the process of devotion or bhakti. We explain them that the process of bhakti gives them a particular type of intelligence which they would not have had access to. We can explain them the three ways of acquiring knowledge, which is, anyone knows, three ways of acquiring knowledge? Direct perception. Pratyaksha, Anuman, and Shabda. The English equivalent of that. Direct sense perception. Then? Yeah, the last one is accepting from an authority. So, the process of bhakti makes you qualified to get what is called the Divya Pratyaksha. Your senses are becoming purified, by which you are able to access the level of intelligence which is beyond what you have normally had. What we are tapping into, what is called as the Divya Pratyaksha, where you get revelations which is beyond your normal capability. Because you are starting to follow the process, a bona fide process, and because you are developing divine qualities, as a result of that, you are attracting the mercy of the Lord, and the Lord steps in and starts to give this Divya Pratyaksha. Even though our senses are imperfect, but when empowered, that same imperfect senses get purified, and we are able to access what is beyond our normal sense perception. Now one may ask, is there a real life example of this? So, His Grace Gauranga Prabhu releases the videos. There he was giving the scenario of a devotee who is managing a very big business in the either in India or US. He was in such a big position that they were buying stocks from different multinational companies and selling them. And they have employed people who have done their MBA in finance and all that as their employees to buy those stocks and exchanges. This devotee is chanting 16 rounds, following the whole process. Maybe initiated or not, I'm not sure. But he was strictly following the process. Then this devotee gets a feeling that he needs to sell the stock of a particular company before this particular date. he gets this he gets a feeling, and then he contemplates on that, and then he consults his father, who's got much more power than him, but father was a bit hesitant. But then father trusts him, and then then this particular devotee goes to his employees, who are all employed in big, who have studied in big institutions, and they say, can you sell this stock of this particular company? Then the employees turn around, and one of the person in charge is, are you crazy? Like, this company is very little. Why do you want to sell them now? The devotee kept on insisting, and he used his problem, do what I say. So, unwillingly, they sold the stock of that particular company. Few weeks or few months later, that particular company declared bankruptcy. Lehman Brothers, September 2008, they declared bankruptcy, and anybody who got invested in them, they incurred losses. But this particular devotee, because they sold off the shares earlier, he saved a lot of money. Krishna steps in and gives that divine intelligence which is beyond any business school, beyond any MBA finance, where you can get all those degrees. But beyond that, Krishna helps a devotee. Now that same employee who made fun of the devotee said, what is that you chant? What do you do as normal spiritual practice? Can I start practicing it? Where do you go to get all those spiritual practices? So that's how Krishna gives that particular intelligence by which you are able to convince even a materialist by giving them what they are really interested in, which is good performance at work, more money, and better lifestyle. And that the sadhu does by giving him the bhakti process, which brings him the auspiciousness, and especially the chanting of the holy name gets introduced by the saintly person. Many of you would know the effect of chanting as described in Shikshashtakam. Now let's assume that the materialist has turned into a devotee, now he's starting to practice. Now let us move on to describe what are the look at the difficulties which that particular materialist who has now become a sadhaka, when he is starting to chant, what are some of the challenges that he will face. Most of you would know the Shikshashtakam first verse. What's the first effect of chanting?
Cleansing of dust in heart.
Yeah. Cleansing of the dust in the heart. For a materialist, Prabhupada explains that he has had this strong desire to achieve, to counteract his miseries by engaging in lot of fruitive activities. So he has accumulated a lot of dust. It's described how the benefits which are offered by this modern world, that's more like a dust, and the fruitive activity that a person does is more like a whirlwind. So we already have a lot of dust, and then if a whirlwind comes and puts all the dust on your heart, so that's how contaminated the heart of a materialist is. He already wants to aspire and achieve a lot of things, and the outside world is also promising a lot of benefits for him. So that promises are like the whirlwind, and his desire is like already is burning that desire. So his heart is so contaminated, and he thinks that he can counteract all his problems by his own means. But now that he is starting to practice this process of chanting, the first effect we can explain him that it gradually removes the dust which is in the heart. Slowly enough, we will introduce them to the actual process of chanting. But still, in the process of chanting, the main hindrance. What's the 11th offense? Can you describe it? How will you chant in the day? When we're chanting the 10 offenses, what do you say? It's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. So this person who was a materialist now turned into a sadhaka. He wants to come out of this inattentive chanting. So inattentiveness has got three aspects, which is laziness, apathy, and distractedness, a tendency to be distracted. So laziness, apathy, not can't be bothered. So laziness in chanting is interrupting the chanting to do something else or to take rest while you're chanting. So this section is probably for personally for my own purification, where I fall trapped to all of this. But I came across a study guide for nectar of instruction. It's a PDF where all the verses of nectar of instruction Prabhupada's purports are given, and then other acharyas' commentaries on those particular verses were also given. And the encouraging part about the chanting of the holy name is given in the nectar of instruction, that despite the fact that you don't have the taste, if you anudinam adara, constantly and sincerely chant the holy name, the disease will go away and you'll be able to get the taste. So while exploring that section, I came across this particular tools or tips as to how to overcome the inattentiveness. I thought I will discuss that, because today's purport talks about the effect of the holy name on the cleansing of the mind, now that the materialist has now turned into a sadhaka because of the association of the sadhu who went in and did all the preaching and continuous cultivation. But now, while chanting, the sadhaka faces inattentiveness. First aspect of that is laziness. So the defense of this is to associate with devotees who don't waste time and who are serious in their chanting. Those devotees who don't engage in useless talks or useless activities. That's the first defense against laziness. Second is to hear the glories of the holy name and the glories of the devotees of the Lord also. Make it a point to hear the glories of the holy name. Perform Harinam Sankirtan as much as possible. This particular point is quite excited. So, this particular point of performing Harinam Sankirtan as much as possible, Nam Sankirtan, acts as a defense for all three, laziness, apathy, and distractedness. So, with apathy, you are chanting, but there's no fixed resolve in chanting. You're not resolved enough to chant. Again, the defense is to chant in the association of those devotees who are more serious. Then follow their discipline and their routine. Try to take in some aspect of their discipline and routine. Second is chant in front of Tulasi or places where Krishna's pastimes have happened along with devotees. So that is kind of incorporated in our morning program. With distraction or distractedness, our tendency to be distracted, misplaced attention of the mind, regularly check your chanting sincerely. Concentrate on the quality of your chanting and pronounce the mantra clearly. If you are mispronouncing, at least while hearing, you should be able to pick it up and correct. If mispronunciation is going on, if one Krishna is missing or one Rama is missing, at least you should be able to pick it up when we are hearing, oh, that wasn't correct. Imagine this. You are doing nice kirtan in front of a whole room. At that time, will you miss a Krishna or Rama? You are going on Harinam Sankirtan in the streets and you are holding the banner and you are singing, you are missing a Krishna and Rama. How would that feel? It wouldn't happen, but while chanting it may happen. Even the people around you, hey, you are holding a banner and you are not reading properly, you are not singing properly. So the idea is, it may seem common sense, but sometimes it's good to have the Hare Krishna mantra on a card and have it in front of us and probably start to read. His Grace Vijay Prabhu, the book distribution minister, he says he does that. Because over a period, we may, in our rush to finish our round, we may miss out some words. So it is a it's a particular count that we do, and it has got that many syllables, Hare Krishna, and then the words. Mantra is made up of 32 syllables. Yeah. So it has to be done properly. Third is, make a constant effort to fix the mind on hearing the name. So if you are constantly getting distracted, so then we need to make special effort to fix the mind. Try to observe yourself in more chanting on Ekadasi or on the appearance days of the Lord. Fifth is something that I try to do. Take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and sometimes chant with his japa tape. We have a facility in Prabhupada's room. So, only thing is we need to make the endeavor to go and do it. Regularly spend some time alone in a quiet place, trying to concentrate deeply on your chanting. Beg the holy name for his mercy with genuine humility. And as I mentioned, perform Harinam Sankirtan as much as possible. So we looked at laziness. What's the second one? Apathy. Then distractedness. So these are all more of a adjustment in the mindset, where we are starting to show that we are sincere and we want to correct. And these can all be translated into action items for us, where whatever we are lacking, we need to fill in the gaps and then do that. Another thing that helped me personally is sitting and chanting in the group of devotees, where we request others to help us when we are falling asleep or looking somewhere else or distracted, taking their help also to correct ourselves. So there is a preparation for chanting also. His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj writes that he meditates on two verses before he chants. One is the glorification of the holy name, where the personified Vedas and all the Upanishads, all of them, they offer a ghee lamp to the holy name. The holy name is so glorious that they come and worship the holy name. And the second verse that he... So this particular verse that I mentioned is in the Nama Ashtakam, the glories of the holy name. And then the second verse that Maharaj mentioned he meditates on is the Bhagavatam verse, Nivritta Tarshyai Upagiyamana Bhavamshada Shotra Manobirama Ka Uttama Shloka Kunan Vada Puman Virajeta Vina Pashugnath. The glorification of the Lord is the correct medicine for the souls which are suffering in this material existence. So Maharaj extends that to that of the holy name. So if I don't hear the holy name, I won't be able to overcome this burning material existence, and this is the right medicine for me. And the third meditation Maharaj shared in the book is that there are three men. The manifestation of the Lord appears in this world in many ways, but we have access to the deity form, holy name, and the Shastra. Of all this, deity worship, we have a lot of rules, but then the holy name gives his association without any restriction to us. If I don't take advantage of this holy association, then what is the point? So he brings about the glory of the holy name more than that of even associating with the deity. So I can't associate with the deities always, but then the holy name is so merciful. So he, as an advanced devotee, he is setting up his mind in such a way that he is able to welcome the holy name. So he says that it's like a pre-meditation for him before he starts to chant. So his point is, before we dive into chanting and get our rounds done, it's good to have some moments of reflection before we start to chant. What are we chanting? Who are we dealing with? Understand the glories of the holy name. Meditate on that. Have the correct mindset. And then you actually get into chanting. Now from the we looked at the mindset and then the prayer, and also the in our day-to-day dealings with other devotees, how that affects the chanting. So we have taken the journey of a materialist turning into a sadhaka and the sadhu guiding him. So now that the sadhaka has to deal with the devotee community, how should he deal with others so that his chanting goes on nicely? And how he can overcome material miseries if he deals with people properly? So, I quite often mention this. The three ways of dealing with devotees given by Narad Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. So, by doing that, the struggling sadhaka will not fall into the trap of offense. So when he meets a person who is senior, instead of being envious, we serve them. If you meet an equal, don't try to compete, but make friendship. If you're meeting with a person who is a junior, don't try to show your anger and power over them, but show compassion, mercy, and help them. So by these three, Narad Muni explains, one can overcome the threefold miseries. And when dealing with the devotees, one very cautiously gives up blasphemy, one understands the supremacy of the Lord and his names over other demigods, and he accepts Guru and the scriptures so that he does not disobey the Guru or he does not blaspheme the scriptures, and how the holy name is beyond all the mundane karmakanda worship. And personally, the sadhaka tries to give up sinful motivation so that he doesn't engage in the sinful activities. By doing all this, these are all like the antidote for the 10 offenses. If you look at it, they are given in such a nice way that by changing your behavior, you are able to overcome all the behavior and mindset, you are able to overcome the 10 offenses. And we also looked at the last one, which is the inattentiveness. The 10th one especially struck me, because what's the 10th offense?
Not a complete faith
in chanting the holy name. material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on that. If I have a lot of material desires, am I not qualified to chant the holy name? So the positive alternative is that the Bhagavatam verse from the 11th canto, 20th chapter, 27-28, where the Lord gives encouragement for a struggling person who has awakened his desire to chant, but still, because of his past conditioning, he falls back. These are the words of the Lord. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to control or renounce his sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. So this should be, I was able to relate to this particular mindset where we are convinced, but then sometimes we fall back. At that time we are overcome by a lot of depression. The purport of this particular verse explains that one need not go into the mood of depression because we are not able to get our material desires completely out of the heart, and we are not chanting purely, we are not able to make much progress. Then the next step is, why even bother trying to stop the process? But then Krishna gives the encouragement, despite all that, worship and continue the process. Don't get into too much of depression. Repenting for past material activities is good, but one shouldn't get into chronic depression. One should take shelter of these encouraging verses from the Lord, where he understands the struggle of the devotee and he encourages him. So I'll read the last section of this. This is the prayer of that particular struggling sadhaka. O Lord Krishna, you are within my heart, and please remove all the inauspicious contamination. But then he says, whether you remove such attachments immediately or let me go on afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to you. Even if you place millions of obstacles on my path, even because of my offenses I go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving you. So this is the internal mood of the particular chanter, and then the strategy that he follows is that he will continue faithfully hearing about the mercy of the Lord, the glories of the Lord, the mercy of his devotees, and the glories of the holy name. By that, by not acting on his material desires, and by filling himself with a lot of spiritual desires, which he gets by associating with the sadhus, by that he overcomes his propensity to fall back. So having material desires is not a hindrance, but how we deal with them, that will either make us or break us. So how we deal with material desires, that is what is crucial. So in this way, we saw how a materialist who was running after material achievements, by gradually taking the association of a sadhu, he gets his spiritual wisdom reawakened, where he gets reinstated as a spirit soul. What am I meant to do as a spiritual being? What divine qualities I need to develop? What demoniac qualities I need to avoid? What qualities I need to acquire to get the mercy of the Lord? apply these spiritual practices in my own life, see the results, then try to become a serious practitioner. While practicing my sadhana also I will face challenges. While chanting the holy name I will face a set of challenges, but for each of the challenges I will not become too much depressed and give up chanting, but rather get the knowledge of proper defense for each offense, get proper understanding of behavior, proper behavior with the Vaishnavas, and continuously beg for the mercy of the holy name, thereby removing the dust from the mirror of the heart. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions related to what we discussed today.
Kirtan,
that
includes chanting, japa,
kirtan, all. Yeah, when I looked at that section, it was telling about chanting only.
Okay.
And then when it was giving about remedies, I saw this.
So that's referring to
chanting.
Oh, japa, chanting.
Because the number of rounds and the counting and all that was described, and while in the process of chanting japa, you will face these problems, and then they are given like sections for each one of them. When laziness came, then it was explained, and then more details were given, and the defense for that was also given. In that, the way I understand is while doing the Harinam Sankirtan, also if we develop the mood of praying, then it helps. So the prayer that you do while you're doing Harinam Sankirtan helps, definitely help in your chanting. So that's my understanding.
Then
one
comment I
have to
mention. You were mentioning about Sachin and Maharaj chanting the two words. So in the 7th canto of chapter 23-24, the Sarana Prabhu, in the 7th section, Pugwad writes these two verses. Mentioned these two verses and asked to recite those verses and meditate on them if you want to improve our chanting.
Okay, Prahlad Maharaj is Shravan. Yeah, I didn't know where Maharaj took it from.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, Prabhu writes it, mentioned. Just the beginning, not the whole, that we complete.
Yeah, this particular study guide was extremely good. They have broken down nectar instruction verses, Prabhupada's purpose, other acharya's purpose related to that particular theme, and any songs, Vaishnava acharya songs for that particular theme, they've put it in one place. We conclude here. Oh, you have a question.
That's a question. You said that many times in the rush to finish the rounds, we skip the words or mispronounce or inattention. So I think we should give up this mentality of finishing the rounds.
Yeah, that's true.
If you give up that mentality, then many of the offenses can be reduced. There's no need to rush and finish the rounds, because we have to chant 24/7 anyway.
Yeah.
So where is the rush? You can't rush 24 hours. You will just chant for 24 hours and just chant.
Okay, the point is give up the mentality of finishing rounds.
And
not to rush.
Yeah.
So give up the mentality of finishing rounds and don't rush.
That's right. That will reduce a lot of anxiety and a lot of offenses. Because there is no point in rushing and no point in finishing. You can't finish 24 hours of it continuously every day.
Yeah.
Prabhupada.
In this verse, Prithu Maharaj says that, like for his subject, he's asking this question to the Kumaras that how can they, like, you know, get out of this material existence and achieve the ultimate goal. But he already also set example that when Vishnu gave him darshan, he said, "I don't want that. I only want like 1,000,000 years so I can hear the glory." So why is he again developing that thing in his subjects where they would like they would hanker away from material existence, but then hanker for moksha, like or something like that?
So he is basically playing the role of person struggling in the material existence. So, say for example, if a prominent preacher has come to your place, and new persons may not want to ask a lot of questions. When the speaker asks for any questions, others would have, but they may not want to speak in public or they may be ashamed to ask such questions. So then one of the senior practitioners, he will pose as if he is there, and he will take up the role of a junior sadhaka as if he is struggling. Then he will ask a question so that, "Oh yeah, good, Prabhu asked the question. I wanted to ask but I was hesitant." So that's the role which Prithu Maharaj is playing. Now the response by the Kumaras also will be great, in the sense they will encourage such questions, they will start describing the process, they will start describing the impersonal path also, and sensing that Prithu Maharaj is into bhakti, then they will quickly describe bhakti process also. Because all this Prithu Maharaj himself has instructed the citizens. But still, he's playing a role to bring out more from the Kumaras and get them also to elaborate further on this whole thing. Also benefit the audience. So anything good can be repeated many times. And then subject matters only, like spiritual subject matters only, when repeated again and again, gets to us. So it will be a form of repetition, but then anything good can be repeated. So, okay. Yes.
As mentioned, how if sadhu comes over, like how the pretty popular people explain, we should not have how are you this and that most of the time.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't even have a question when you meet some Maharaj and
yeah.
And so maybe you're just blinded if this ask Hare Krishna after that. So what to do at that time, or how to take advantage of that association, because there is nothing to ask or.
Okay, if you meet a sadhu and now that we can't do the small talk with the sadhu and we don't have questions also, then what do we do? The idea is you should have questions. Practitioner means you'll always have some doubts. And if you don't have any other questions, there's the evergreen questions like, how do I improve my chanting? Improving chanting is not, when we talked about satisfaction, we should develop a quality of satisfaction when material things come to us. But when it comes to the quality of chanting, we should never be satisfied and want to increase more and more. Then, in that case, we always have some evergreen questions. 5 years ago, we asked, how to improve my chanting. 10 years after that also, we can ask, how do I improve my chanting? This is the stage that I'm in. This is where I want to get to. How do I do it? You always have questions. So, in that case, yes?
The questions are there, but in your mind, somebody feels like, okay, I'm going to, you know, Maharaj answer this question all the time. And sometimes they reply, okay, I already answered that one. So, you don't want to even make that sound like, okay, I'm just waiting to ask the same question again and again.
Okay, so you have already asked a question and Maharaj has replied. Maharaj may say, okay, refer back to that particular lecture. So by this interaction, is there any loss? No. So you have talked to a sadhu and he has responded. So that is also good enough. We are not going in like press reporter. Okay, I need to get some. I got a question. I need to get an answer from you. Then I need to write something for my news article based on no. We always have. Personally, I have a lot of questions. So which goes on to reflecting on that, we need to probably work on our own reading. So when we read more, then we'll always have doubts, and then I personally write them down and then keep them. Okay, this Maharaj is coming. Okay, or this particular. Okay, I have to write to Guru Maharaj. I have a set of questions to write to and ask. So when you are in that particular mindset of always inquiring, then Krishna will reveal more doubts to you and then send people also for you to answer them. So, hope that helps. Okay. We conclude here. Granthasya Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.